Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour of fellowship. Thank you, Jesus. Your children who are here gathered, who may still be joining, and those who may listen later to the replay. We thank you for all that you do. We love you for who you are. And we praise you for what you've made us to be in you. And we honor you, Lord, as we get together today. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we are almost at the end of the series and the pillars. And the last one that I want to get into is going to be, you know, after we, getting to the point where we're becoming more and more like him, the union with Christ leads to one thing, you know, that's that we reign with him. Because now you are inside of him, you are part of him, and he's part of you. You're one with him. He's one with the Father, and you're one with him. I'm one with him. Then we reign with him. If he reigns, then we reign. Because we're now in him. That's the last of the pillars. And there's a lot of promises about that that we're going to get into. But before I do that, today I want to do open mic of all the things that we have covered to this point. And you can give your shares. You can give your shout out to the Lord for what he shown you thus far, and then, you know, perhaps tomorrow I want to get into the reign with him portion of this series. Powerful stuff. I don't even want to rush myself, get into it, because that's what it's all about. Why is that so? Because that's what he envisioned from the beginning. He said, well, that we may reign with him. Let him make man in our image after our likeness, and they may have dominion, which means basically reign with him. You know, so we're going to be talking about that, and I want you to think about it too. What does it mean to reign with him? And when will we be reigning with him? You know, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to reign with him now or later, and where will we be reigning with him? We're going to reign with him on earth or in heaven? You know, and so forth. And what exactly will that look like? Or does it look like even now? So we'll be talking about all of that. But today, we've spent about, you know, 12 days or more on this. I believe today is day 13 that we've been in this series. So in these 12 days, you know, you must have learned something, and hopefully there's been some transformation. Remember the lessons about we looking into the mirror and seeing the change as we become more and more like him. But that's what it's all about. You know, show me thy way, Lord, that I might know you. And we've talked about seeking the Lord in order to know him. And knowing him, wow, the Lord himself said, look, let not the rich man glory in his riches, you know, nor the mighty glory in his strength, and so forth. But let him that glorieth glory in this one thing. And there's a scripture for that. And as in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verses 23 to 24. Glory in this one thing, that you know me. That's what the Lord says. Well, you know, which means that's the summation of everything. If the mighty should not glory in his might. If the rich should not glory in his riches. If the prudent should not even glory in his wisdom. Well, what then? Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Yeah, that's it. Do we really know the Lord? Have I been with you such a long time, Philip, and yet thou hast not known me? Do we really know him? Well, some of us grew up in church and grew up around, you know, the knowledge of God and the things of God. But have we really experienced him in a one-on-one personal way that can lead to union with him? Let him glory in this one thing, he said, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, so it ought to be a goal in life to know the Lord. You know, and that's the prayer that Moses prayed. Simple prayer, but very profound. Show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. And many of the New Testament writers, they talked about, you know, that knowledge of God, you know, wanting us, you know, praying for everyone that we may grow in that grace and the knowledge of God. We know that Paul was a prolific writer, but even Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, this is the very last verse of the second epistle that he wrote. So you might think of it as the very last thing he wrote. He talked about, you know, this was the prayer, you know, that he prayed, you know, that we may grow, say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always to grow in knowing him. You know, Paul talked about it as part of the end game, even in God pouring out the ministerial gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, well, there is a purpose for which these things were given, according to Ephesians, you know, chapter 4, and from verses 11 through 13. These ministerial gifts were there for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And those roles will continue until a point in time. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Wow. That's so profound. You know, coming into a perfect man, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Growing from grace to grace, from glory to glory, from knowledge of God, even to more knowledge of him. That we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait, you know, and so on. But the way he's calling it forth, he wants us to grow in this knowledge. Jesus himself prayed this prayer in John chapter 17. Powerful prayer that Jesus prayed. You know, he said, well, you know, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son. Thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this, so what Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee. That's right. The only true God. Can't have eternal life any other way. That's what it's all about. To know Him. The only true God. And Jesus Christ. Whom Thou hast sent. Ah, hallelujah. And at the end of 1 John chapter 5, that epistle, John would remember these things that Jesus said in his prayer. And he would say it like this in 1 John 5 and 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Remember, let him that glorieth, glory in this thing, that he understandeth and knoweth me, saith the Lord. Well, John would say, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is a true God. An eternal life. This is the definition of eternal life. Jesus prayed in his prayer. They may know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son, whom you have sent. Now, know him doesn't mean know about him. It means know him. And that's what we've been dealing with in this series. How do we know him? You know, or how do we know more of him? What are the attributes that he can reveal more and more to us that we can become? You know, so, you know, the more we know of him, the more we see him, the more he reveals himself to us, the more we can become like him. And at times, Jesus would show his disciples certain aspects of his character to demonstrate to them what they should be. If I being your Lord and Master, he would say in John 13, I have done these things, you know, I washed your feet. Well, you know, even as he said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. If I being your Lord and your Master, I have washed your feet. And know indeed that I am your Lord and Master. You call me so, and you're right. I am. And if I am your Lord and Master, and I washed your feet. So he revealed that aspect of himself. And he said, well, ye ought to also do the same thing. You know, everything that he reveals of himself, he wants us to be like. He said, even in another place, the book of Matthew 11, verses 25 through the end. He talks about, you know, what God hides from the prudent and reveals to babes. The knowledge of God is hidden, see, from the prudent, but it is revealed unto babes, because that's how it seemed good in God's sight. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. These are the people that should know these things. They are wise, they are prudent, they are educated, they are scholastic. They should know these things, you know, but God hid it from them. And the ones that shouldn't know them, babies, God reveals them to them. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in his sight. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, the glory of God is revealed in us being earthen vessels. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This glory of God. You know, God didn't choose to make us with gold and silver and stuff. No. He chose to make us of earth. You know, and the thing that people generally tread upon, You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels like that, so that the excellency will not be of the material. You know, we were made of gold, we were made of silver, and then, you know, people might think that, well, it is the gold and it is the silver, but he made us of dirt, really. You know, so that the excellency might be of, and the power might be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. What treasure is he talking about then? When he says you have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? Well, the treasure is the life of Jesus being made manifest in our body. He said, well, you know, that's the life of Jesus being made manifest in our body. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. It's all about knowing him, about knowing what he's all about. To give the light of the knowledge. The entrance of his word brings light. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you're looking at that mirror, what you're seeing, you know, is really the face of Jesus Christ. The reflection of the glory of God. For he is the image of the invisible God, the brightness of God's glory. Hebrews 1 and 3, Colossians 1 and 15. Brightness of God's glory and the express image of God himself. And the more we look into that perfect law of liberty, the more we become like him. But this treasure is in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And what is the process by which he's taking us there? Well, he talked about it in the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And he talked about what the glory that Moses had that was covered with veil, you know, talked about it. He said, you know, even till this day, that veil, unfortunately, is still on their minds. Whereas Christ has done away with that veil, you know, people's minds are still veiled because they gave up the right. You know, God said, obey my voice, come on in and come in with me one-on-one, and each one of you and every one of you will be unto me priests, kingdom of priests. But they say, well, no, we can't hear his voice. Now, until this day, when Moses is read, that veil is still upon their heart. Nevertheless, when you look at it from the angle of Christ and what he did on that cross when that veil was split, well, he said, our veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, we all are looking, our face beholding in a glass. When you are looking in the mirror, what you are seeing at first is a reflection of yourself. But as time goes on, you continue on this quest of to know him, you know, then you begin to see that you are being changed. The same image, just like Christ was the image of the invisible God, now we ourselves become the image of the Christ. That's what he said, you know, that Christ may be the firstborn among many, whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, That's what he said in Romans 8:29. So if we are going to be conformed to the image of his son, well, what we are seeing in the mirror then, as we are looking, we're seeing that we are being changed. That's the conforming. We're becoming more like him. We're coming into alignment with him, you know, more and more changing to the same image which he predestinated us to be from the beginning, but being changed into that image. And that was what he designed it to be, and it will be. You know, and now we're being changed from the same image, from glory to glory, and it is the Spirit of the Lord that is doing it. But we must yield to him so that he'll have that perfect work, you know, of transformation in us. And until the day comes, and the day star is fully risen in our hearts, and the light of the glory of God has taken over our entire being, you know, and it's like we have been clothed from above with a new thing, you know, a new house. We're growing in now. Something is happening. And then all of a sudden, we are transfigured into light. And we are gone. But it's all by knowing him. You know, the aspect of him that he reveals to us, that we adore and worship in him. When you see him as the, you know, servant leader, who, though he is master and Lord, yet he can bow at your feet to wash your feet. That's an amazing thing for you to consider. As you ponder that in your heart, you say, wow, make me like that, Lord. So what he reveals, according to 1 John chapter 3, he says that even though right now we know we are already sons of God, yet we do not quite see in us the fullness of that image. But we know that as he reveals himself, that's right, when he shall appear, whatever manifestation of himself that he gives to you, well, then that's what you shall be like. As he appears, we shall be like him. Because you see him as he is. So what you see in him, you adore in him, attribute of him that you worship like that, is what you can become. Glory to God. And by and large, when we have this hope in ourselves, then we must purify ourselves even as he is pure. Praise the Lord. Ultimately, as we are becoming like him, remember, as many as received him, John 1 and 12, he gave the power to become. It's a process of becoming. And becoming sons of God, just like he, you know, the ultimate son of God declared with power to be the son of God. Well, we also, becoming like him, will be declared with power to be sons of God. You know, have you seen my servant Job? God said, have you considered him? That there is none like him, a man that loves God and escheweth evil. Well, the Lord will say, have you seen my sons and daughters? Yeah, who have been redeemed and functioning, behaving like me, looking like me, talking like me, reasoning even like me. Have you seen them? Called the sons of God. That's right. And the devil will always have or try to have something to say about that. But, you know, what God said in the beginning will come to pass. We're being transformed. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit, becoming more and more like him. So this is the lesson that we've been talking about. And yesterday and the day before, we're talking about the progression. We start from being in the profane place. You know, we didn't even know the Lord. Well, we receive salvation. We come into the common salvation. The Bible says, you know, have knowledge of this common salvation. You know, while in the common salvation, you can consider it as 30%, because there's still so much more. And once you begin to recognize that he has put you into a priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are a royal priesthood. You begin to, you know, open up to the Holy Spirit when we receive the menorah. Then he begins to open up the living word. Christ is that living word. But without the Holy Spirit, you can read it a lot. You probably get 34. It's good. You get 30, which is still good. But when the Holy Spirit is there, you know, you can double that. It can give you 60-fold. But still, not quite at 100-fold, not quite 100%. What are the things that prevent us from getting there? Well, we see that those who are trapped in the outer court, they can't go in. It's because there is a veil, and the veil says you're not good enough, which is sin consciousness. But those who figure it out and get in there, sometimes they themselves have difficulty getting further. And difficulty may be what they think they've got. They are here by themselves, self-righteousness. Or they're focused on their needs. Whereas God says, I'll give you myself. They say, well, I don't have a child. Or I don't have this, or I don't have that. And that even the need consciousness along with self-righteousness still preventing them from getting into the most holy place. Finally, they can overcome all of that. Now they are in one-on-one brighter union with Christ. And they have access now to the hidden manna. Showbread in the holy place. Hidden manna in the most holy place. Showbread available to many priests. Hidden manna discoverable only by one. One person only. Glory to God. And that tells us that, you know, the deepest revelation of him that you can have is when you are in that one-on-one brighter union with Christ. Communion, full concentration upon him. Now, as we become more and more like him, and we get infused with him and becoming him, it's not just becoming like him now, we're actually becoming him. Yeah, that's the highest dimension. You know, as he is, 1 John 4:17, so are we in this world. Then we see that, you know, what he is, we are. If he is king, then we're reigning with him. If he is a priest, then we are subordinate priests with him. I mean, whatever he is. So if he's the incarnate and, you know, only begotten son of God, then we are also sons of God along with him. And so on and so forth. And, well, and we begin to realize that we are seated in heavenly places. Even now, we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ, inside of him, one with him. Where he is, we are. Praise God. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. That's my summary. But I want you to share your own takeaways, you know, because, you know, when you attend a class, take even an online training or whatever, you must do a knowledge check along the way. You cannot just go through the class. If you go through the class and you didn't do any exam, you've just audited the class. You can't get any credit really for it. You know, in order for you to get credit for the class, you got to show your knowledge. You take an exam, you take a quiz or whatever, I give you a passing score, you know, and I mean, it's always, you've got to do these things over and over again. On my job, where I do the job thing, every so often, you know, we got to retake certain classes all the time. It's like, I took this one last quarter, or I took it last year. Yeah, you got to take it again. And you got to pass it again before you can go on to the next one. I mean, even within the class, let's say it's an hour class, you take the first section. I say, well, are you ready to, you know, do a knowledge check? Show what you've learned. Then you do the knowledge check. If you don't pass with the passing grade, I may say, well, 80% is the passing score. Okay. If you don't get 80%, you cannot proceed to the next lesson in that same training. Now, once you get the 80% or above, well, then the next lesson opens up. And then you take another 5-10 minute lesson, do another knowledge check. You know, so you can consider these segments where we ask you to share, you know, also a way of your own knowledge check. Assure yourself that you know what the Lord has been saying. You understand it. By you repeating what you have learned, it helps to solidify the knowledge. Plus, you know, other people will also benefit from it. For effective communication between the speaker and the listeners, or the teacher and the students, well, both parts have to do their part. Teacher has to teach, student has to learn. If the teacher is teaching and the student is not learning, that something is broken in communication. The speaker is speaking and the listener is not learning or perceiving or tracking along with what they are saying, then there is a break in communication. So, before I go on to the final pillar in this series, which is, you know, after all that we become like him, well, what is it? What will it look like? And what has he promised at the end of all of that? Which is to reign with him. We'll talk about that. First, a knowledge check. And your share becomes your testimony of what the Lord has been showing you. You know, Luke said, having had perfect understanding of and being eyewitnesses of these things, well, let me declare them to you. So if you have understanding of these things, well, declare them to us. Not to be boastful, not to show, but it helps you to know assuredly that you know what you know. Praise the Lord. And if you have questions, you may also ask. But at this time, I am going to turn it over for us to share our thoughts and our reactions and share, you know, what God has been showing you. Testimonies are also welcome. There's a purpose for God taking us through this journey. And my prayer is that that purpose is being formed in us, you know, from glory to glory. Even as Paul said, my little children, Galatians 4:19, of whom I travail in birth again and again until Christ be formed in you. We also travail in the word of the Lord till Christ be formed in all of us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for taking us through this journey. Where are we headed? Well, you said the destination was predetermined, that we will be calm, just like Christ, and we will be conformed to the image of the Christ. Now, Lord, thank you for revealing to us what that means. Thank you for showing us your way, that we may know you. And this is a prayer that we continue to pray, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the depth of the love of God, to know the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, the riches of his grace. We thank you. We give you praise and glory. And we do not frustrate the grace of God. We walk, we receive the grace of God. We walk in it because God endowed us with that grace. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's here listening, everyone to come, everyone to listen later. These things as we share, so that which every joint supplieth, the body makes increase of itself, you know, as we grow in stature unto the Lord. Thank you, Father. I give you all the praise and all the glory. You're still working in us and changing us from glory to glory. And we honor you and praise you for that process. Thank you for giving us the grace to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth in us the glory of God and the light of the knowledge of that glory, even in the face of Jesus Christ, as we look in the mirror and see the reflection of ourselves looking more and more like the Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.